Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 3, Karma Yoga, continuing reading from Text 29, the comment. Gradually, by following the Vedic system, this part is explaining how Karma Yoga leads to, or Karma leads to Karma Yoga, leads to Bhakti. Gradually, by following the Vedic system, called Karma, one may accept an eternal transcendental objective to replace his temporary food of coals. With that acceptance, one abandons the designation of karmakandi and becomes a karma yogi. By properly performing his appropriate duties, the karma yogi will gradually move from sakkam karma yoga, attached work, to nishkam karma yoga, detached work, on the platform of jnana, knowledge. He can then follow the yoga ladder upward towards liberation, Paramatma realization, and finally devotional service to Krishna. I'll read that sentence again. He can then follow the yoga ladder upward towards liberation, Paramatma realization, and finally devotional service to Krishna. His association and desires will dictate how far he actually climbs on his step-by-step ascension of the yoga ladder. The Bhagavad Gita describes this gradual ascension in chapters 3 through 6. In addition to the step-by-step process, Krishna explains what takes place when either from the beginning of one's practices on any rung of the ladder, one attains the association of a devotee and comes to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and oneself as Krishna's servant. Srila Prabhupada describes this in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4, 3-4 in his purport. The activities of religion, economic development, and sense gratification are generally attractive for conditioned souls struggling for existence in the material world. Such regulated activities prescribed in the Vedas are called karmakandiya conception of life, and householders are generally recommended to follow those rules just to enjoy material prosperity both in this life and the next. Most people are attracted by such activities. As the great emperor of the world, Maharaj Prickett had to observe such regulations of the Vedic karmakandiya section, but by his slight association with Sukadeva Goswami, he could perfectly understand that Lord Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, for whom he had natural love since his birth, is everything, and thus he fixed his mind firmly upon him, renouncing all modes of Vedic karmakandiya activities. This perfectional stage is attained by a jnani after many, many births. The jnanis, or the empiric philosophers endeavoring for liberation, are thousands of times better than the fruit of workers. And out of hundreds of thousands of such jnanis, one is liberated factually. And out of hundreds of thousands of such liberated persons, even one person is rarely found who can firmly fix his mind onto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. That was the end of Prabhupada's comment, purport. Continuing with the comment. As soon as a person accepts his position as a servant of Krishna, though he may seemingly be on the sakkam karma yoga or nishkam karma yoga level, and may even be termed a sakkam karma yogi or a nishkam karma yogi, he is no longer on the same step-by-step path as other practitioners. He is now a devotee, although he may not be fully realized and may still have material attachments. For a discussion on the use of these terms in relationship to devotees, please refer to the preface, pages 15 through 16. He is nevertheless far greater than those who take the step-by-step approach and is more fortunate because he has acknowledged the ultimate goal and will, by steady and appropriate practice, gradually advance in a way that appears parallel to other practitioners, but in fact is not. A devotee who practices Sakkama Karma Yoga, for example, will gradually have his material attachments loosened by his performance of appropriate practices. This is also true of the non-devotee Sakkama Karma Yogi. The devotee Sakkama Karma Yogi, however, is far superior because he has already begun to aspire for the highest goal. The non-devotee Sakkama Karma Yogi is on the transcendental path, but may never reach an understanding of the highest goal. Therefore, he may never reach the highest rung of the yoga ladder. Additionally, when one proceeds in a step-by-step fashion, his advancement is limited by his own capabilities. But one who sets Krishna's service as his goal attains the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. They act as his supports throughout his spiritual journey. The non-devotee faces these two difficulties. He may never understand that the highest rung of the yoga ladder is to attain Krishna's service, and he is limited by his own detachment, purity, and power to advance. He does not gain the assistance of Krishna's descending mercy. Actually, as Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19.149, only a devotee can become nishkam, desireless. Prabhupada's purport says, if one understands Krishna, he immediately becomes desireless, nishkam, because a Krishna bhakta knows that his friend and protector in all respects is Krishna, who is able to do anything for his devotee. Krishna says, Kanteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. O son of Kunta, since Krishna gives this assurance, the devotee lives in Krishna and has no desire for personal benefit. The background for the devotee is the all-good himself. Why should the devotee aspire for something good for himself? His only business is to please the Supreme by rendering service as much as possible. A Krishna bhakta has no desire for his personal benefit. He is completely protected by the Supreme. Avasya rakibe Krishna vishvas palan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he is desireless because Krishna will give him protection in all circumstances. It is not that he expects any assistance from Krishna. He simply depends on Krishna, just as a child depends on his parents. The child does not know how to expect service from his parents, but he is always protected, nevertheless. This is called nishkam, desirelessness. Although karmis, gyanis, and yogis fulfill their desires by performing various activities, they are never satisfied. A karmi may work very hard to acquire millions of dollars, but as soon as he gets $1 million, he desires another million. For the karmis, there is no end of desire. The more the karmi gets, the more he desires. The gyanis cannot be desireless because their intelligence is unsound. They want to merge into the Brahman effulgence. But even though they may be raised to that platform, they cannot be satisfied there. There are many gyanis or sannyasis who give up the world as false, but after taking sannyas, they return to the world to engage in politics or philanthropy or to open schools and hospitals. This means that they cannot attain to the real Brahman, Brahma Satyam. They have to come down to the material platform to engage in philanthropic activity. Thus they again cultivate desires, and when these desires are exhausted, they desire something different. Therefore, the jnani cannot be nishkam, desireless, nor can the yogis be desireless, for they desire yogic perfections in order to exhibit some magical feats and gain popularity. People gather around these yogis, and the yogis desire more and more adulation. Because they misuse their mystic power, they fall down again onto the material platform. It is not possible for them to become nishkam, desireless. The conclusion is, this is Srila Prabhupada speaking still, is that only the devotees who are simply satisfied in serving the Lord can actually become desireless. Therefore, it is written, Krishna Bhakti Nishkam. Since the Krishna Bhakta, the devotee of Krishna, is satisfied with Krishna, there's no possibility of fall down. That was the end of Srila Prabhupada's purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19, verse 149. Continuing with the comment on text 9, continuing to its conclusion. Thus, by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, no one can become bewildered and mistake a rung on the yoga ladder as the goal. Srila Prabhupada mercifully and expertly synthesizing the commentaries of the previous acharyas with his own realized words, created fully relevant purports for a worldwide audience of Bhagavad Gita readers. Srila Prabhupada revealed Krishna's actual desire for the conditioned soul, Sarvadhammam Pratyaja, that he abandon all forms of religion and surrender to him. Why should we remain incomplete, fixed at one level of the elaborate Vedic system, when we can achieve the system's full purpose by the easy step of surrender to Krishna? By writing Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srila Prabhupada clearly proved that the Lord's devotee is even more merciful than the Lord. Hare Krishna. So we shall end there, and next we'll read text 10. Hare Krishna.